We're doing this little series called Entrusted, right? Pastor Dell opened up and said, what have we been entrusted with? With our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And we're called to give it away. That's why it's a value on the wall. It's not something we just sing. It is the heartbeat of who we are. We want you to give your life away to Christ. If you're going to get poured out for him. Amen? Amen? That's what you do. And then Pastor Rob wonderfully and masterfully reminded of us last week that if your parents, you've been entrusted to share that good news to your children, to the next generation, so they might know him. And we saw it today, right? Living that value, that command, that I'm going to give it to the next generation so they might know Christ. Now, I have the pleasure of being entrusted with the gospel to share with you how we do that. But before we do that, we're going to shut off a little video, right? Is it ready? And this is going to kind of help set up the introduction. So would you please watch the monitors?
Why? Trying. I am trying. Good. Keep doing.
Sergeant, we leave this spot, we might never make it back.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's overloaded?
My sister in Pittsburgh.
How many of you remember that movie, right? For us, we've lived it. Now, Pastor Don, I promise I didn't pick the video because of the Marines, okay? Army Marine stuff. But it was true. That gentleman, a real Marine, went in there and found those men. And because he did that, he called in everybody else. But do you remember what he said in the video? He said, don't leave us. And in the video, he says, I'm in hell. Don't leave us. And he goes, I am not leaving you. You are my mission. That is the mission, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why you and I responded to the gospel is not so that we could have potlucks, as great as they are. It's not so that we could worship together on a Sunday morning, as great as that is. The reason we are saved is so that we could take the good news of Christ and go back into the world that is under darkness, that's under heap in their own personal hell, and you could shine the light of Christ on them. Amen? That is what we're called to do. And this is why, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what Peter is calling the church to do. He says that through Jesus, God is building a community. He's building a family of believers who will bring glory to his name. That is our purpose. And because of Christ, we are being built into my favorite word, familia, into a family that finds its fulfillment in sharing with others so they might come to know him and be part of our family. Amen? That is what we're called to do. So again, turn with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 1 through 10. And when you're there, say amen. Okay, four people, let's go. When you're there, say amen. All right, here we go, church. Beginning in verse 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here's the first principle that we've been entrusted with. First thing we need to know from the scripture here says, God requires the laying aside of sin. God wants you to put everything that entails you, that hinders you from walking with him, put it away. Beginning of verse 1, it says, so we put away all malice. That, you're like, you're starting with the word so? Yes. In some of your Bibles, right, does it read therefore? Anybody got a Bible that says therefore, right? Others say so that, right? When you see the word therefore, this is an old corny joke, but I need you to all laugh at it, right? They teach us this in Bible college. They say when you see the word therefore, you stop and see what it's. There you go. See, you're so smart. Yeah, but it's pointing back to the previous chapter, to chapter 1. And in verses 23 through 25, it says this, that you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass and all like glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Everything's going to fade, but not the gospel. Amen? This is why we're here. So we got to put it away. Take it off. It literally is, hey, take it off and leave it off. That's what you do. So let me ask you, do you know what all means in the Greek? Anybody know what all means in the Greek? Nobody? Okay, you're going to learn Greek today. Ready? Say ready? All in the Greek means all. English or Spanish, pick your choice. Es lo mismo. Es all, todo. It's everything. Okay, see, you're smarter. See, that's what it means. All. Everything that hinders you, everything that's going to stop you from growing and maturing requires that you take it off. Put it away. Removing the sinful attitudes that harm fellowship, like malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. These sins, they destroy community. They destroy living in relationship, not only with each other, but with God most of all. So some Bibles read it like this. Let me ask you, if your Bible reads it like this, put away some malice, some deceit, some hypocrisy, some envy, some slander. Any of your Bibles read it like that? No? No, right? It says it what? All. Take it all off, okay? The problem is we've been accustomed, listen to me, church, we've been accustomed to living in the darkness. Our eyes have become to the use of the darkness, but God is calling us to come into the light and take it off, which is contradictory to his nature. You ever been in darkness, right? Your eyes get adjusted to it, and then pretty soon you're like, oh, I can see. And then you walk outside and you're like, wait a minute. Oh, and you're doing this, you know? But some of us, I don't know why, but we're comfortable in it. Now, I don't know about you, but I love watching these funny videos on YouTube and stuff where people fall and do certain things. It just cracks me up. My wife's like, why do you watch that? And I said, because I need a little joy in my life. I need to laugh sometimes. And there's nothing funnier than seeing somebody get hurt. I'm only kidding. It's hilarious. No, I'm only kidding. Forgive me. Yeah. But it's serious, right? But you've seen this, right? You've seen this? Like they're doing something and a spider or something falls on the person and they're like running and they're like, ah! You know, and in Spanish we call the word asco. It gives you the heebie-jeebies, right? And you do this, oh my gosh, you know, like, no, get that off of me, right? That's how I want you to treat sin. Like, no, not on me. Take it off, put it away. I don't need it, don't want it. Because you know, like I know, that when we have messed up, it brings a lot of shame and guilt. And you feel dirty. And you probably start crying like I do. My God, why did I do this? I don't know Christ to be a little bit malicious or deceitful or hypocritical, envious or slanderous. That's not who he is, and that's not what we're called to be like. Hebrews chapter 12 says it like this. Therefore, since we've been surrounded by the great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Take it off. You can't win like that. You're not going to win like that. He tells them in verse 2, like newborn infants long for pure crave of spiritual milk, right? That you might grow up into salvation. It's not that you're earning salvation, that you're maturing in your salvation. Now, I don't know about you. Do you guys know I got a new little puppy at home, right? He's the cutest little dog, but he's a terrorist, right? That boy's chewing on everything in my house, you know? My chair, he's eating my books, okay? Everything. I love it when he chases Angie and he bites her because she screams. You know, it's funny to me. But it's terrible when he bites me, you know? But he was like, I had him here, and he started chewing on my arm, and he thought it was his mama again. He's just, and I was going to bring him here, because I got him a bottle, you know, and I was going to show you, look, at this is what a baby does. And he's just gnawing on it. He's chewing. He tore that thing up. That's how we have to be. Psalm 42 says it like this, just as the deer pants for the water, does my soul thirst for you. We need some thirsty people here, okay? We need people like newborn infants that you're craving that spiritual milk. This is why, and here's my shameless plug for growth groups. This is why we tell you, you need to be part of a growth group. This is why you need to go into the Discovery Series, because for some of you, it is the milk that you need. And for some of you, it'll be the meat that you enjoy. Amen? All right? Growth isn't automatic, but it comes through a longing for and a feeding on the word. It actually, the word that it uses there, is in the Greek, it's a logical progression. It literally, that's where we get the word logic from, because it's step by step. Right now, my little puppy is on milk and puppy food. Okay? Milk and puppy food. I don't know, in 6-8 months, he might be on steak and eggs. I don't know. But if I give him steak and eggs right now, even though he'll eat it, because he's a little slob, right? He'll be vomiting that thing up in a minute. And then I got to clean up the mess. But I'm asking you, if you're craving on the word of God and letting it eat and letting it feed your soul, you can't be craving on things of the world. Make sense? Okay, I'm talking to myself, right? I only preached this to myself yesterday. Talk back to me. You know the rule. We cannot crave God's word by feeding on sinful desires. That's why in verse 3 it says, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good. This echoes Psalm 34, taste and see that he's good. Okay, the reminder that believers already know God's goodness through Christ, this fuels the more desire for him. Once you come to see Jesus and you know what he's done for you, it's like Christ or the world, which one is it? Christ or this? This is what Kent said, and EJ said, hey, I'm leaving the world behind. In this baptism, I'm declaring to you and to the whole world that I am no longer the man I used to be, but I'm a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, and I'm dying to myself by going underneath the water, and I'm rising to my new self in newness of life in Christ. That's what I'm declaring. That's what you saw them do. This is why we, like, yep, that's us. That's us. I don't know about you. How many guys like a good steak? My man here, the smoker, you love meat, you know? I didn't know what good steak was until I went out to a restaurant years ago with my wife. We went to this place called, I can't think of the name of it, but it was really good. It was a beautiful steak, cooked it really good. Wildfire. I went to Wildfire. Anybody ever been there? There you go. See that? And it had crab on it, like an inch of crab. But I was going to swear to God, but it's true. I ate that meat, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is the most bestest food I've ever tasted. Now, I thought before that A1 was like a needed item. No. Now, if you bring A1 next to me, I'm like, you better get away from me before I hit you, you know? Like, no, you get away. And see, this is why, you know, people are like, oh, let's throw some A1. And no. If you cook it right and if you know how to cook, all right, you're going to get some good food, all right? And when you taste that, you're like, oh, I can't go back to A1 now. Nothing against A1, but, you know, hey, it's not the same. Christ is not the same. Once you taste of him, it's him. That's why you got to take everything else, including the A1 sauce, and throw it in the garbage, because that ain't going to work here now anymore. Whatever you've been doing, take it off, okay? And if we're going to be like Christ, we have to do it, all right? Next thing I want to share with you, point number two. Christ is the living stone, and we are built on him, verses 4-8. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Christ is the foundation stone of God's temple. They rejected. They crucified him, but he was the precious one of God. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by him. They said, oh, we don't need him. We don't do it. And again, who were these people? They were the zealots. These were the people that knew it. They acted all good on the outside. They were religious, but they didn't have a relationship. You could have tradition, or you could have a testimony. You heard two of them today. This is the difference why he is the living stone. You come to it. It's right. It's remarkable. They didn't see him, right? But he was the one laid before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 3, even God knew this. He goes, you thought you meant it for good, but I'm going to give you one that you're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. God had a rescue plan from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:15. And he's calling believers to continually to come to him in faith and worship. Verse 5, you yourselves, the living stones, are being built up as spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christians, familia, believers in Christ, we're not isolated, but we have to join together, because as the cornerstone was set and then we get in alignment with that, we are all in the right place. This is why we're gathered here this morning, so that we could get an alignment, so we could know, hey, where's the cornerstone at? It is Christ. He's the foundation. We offer our spiritual sacrifices of worship, of obedience, of prayer, and of service. But that is what Christ called us to do, to be a living sacrifice. So imagine that altar, right? The sacrifice would be laid before God. But this is living, meaning it's still alive. Do not get off the altar, because that's where the work of God is done. That's where it takes place. And there's a fire there that is consuming everything that is not of him. But you got to stand still, and it's going to hurt. The crucible of life is going to purify you. He's going to burn away everything that is not of him. And look what Peter does. He goes back in verses 6-8. He lays down the Old Testament foundations, and he goes back to Isaiah 26. He says, Christ is the cornerstone. Whoever believes in him will not be pushed to shame. It says it like this, for it says that the Lord, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, tested stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Okay? And then in verse 7, for believers, he is precious. For unbelievers, And Peter right now quotes In verse 7, Psalm 118, he says this: the stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. Israel looked at him, or the religious people in Israel looked at Christ and said, nah, not him. And they crucified him because they were religious. You rejected him. Peter points to that, but look at what Christ points to it himself, because Christ points to himself in Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 to 44. This is what Jesus said about himself. He said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? That is what the Lord is doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and is be given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. This is why here's the call to go forward. I'm taking it away from you because you're religious. You don't even know and understand. You're doing it for you. But I'm going to give it to a people that will do it. Christ had chosen Israel, and he still has a plan for them. But because of their religiosity, he says, cool, I'm going to go to the Gentiles now. And this is why we are all here together, both Jew and Gentile, worshiping the Messiah, the only one. Amen? Amen. This is what the body of Christ is. Isaiah 8:14, to the disobedient, Christ is a stone of stumbling. Faith, it divides humanity. Or when we accept it, it unites us. The beauty of our church, and I love our church, is that we're made up of many nations, many cultures, many different moms, but one father, amen? And because of that one father, we're familia, all right? So even if you don't like me, you got to pair up with me. Yeah, because if you don't, heaven's going to hate, you're going to hate it, because I'm going to be there, okay? But it's true. Let me give you the third principle. Ready? Number three, we are God's chosen people with a new identity. I promise I'm going to bring it home here now. Because we were thinking about, okay, do we teach them about sharing the gospel? Or, you know, I could go to Matthew 28, 19 in the Great Commission. But no. Because if you do not see yourself as a child of God, why would you want to invite anybody to him? So I'm calling you to holiness, because that is what we want. We're calling you to obedience, because that is what the scripture demands. And when we do that, we will be the people of God that people go, wow, that's Long Grove. Oh, how do you know? Because look at them. They don't look like us. They look like God. They are Christians. They're little Christ. That's what the word means. Christian means a little representation of Jesus. Verse 9, he says this: for you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. This is what Christ thinks of us. When the world fell because of sin, Christ came and he says, okay, I'm taking Israel. They are the apple of my eye, and through them, all people will come to know me. But tell me, did all Israel believe in Christ? The answer is? So we're not talking about ethnic Israel, okay? And I'm not hating. I love my Jewish friends and people. But they failed in the mission, and because of the failure, God says, cool, I'm going to graft it out to everybody, because that's the original plan. I want everyone and anyone who wants to come to me, come. And because of that, our new identity, it says you are a chosen race. I was stuck on that word, because it uses the word ethnos. But it's chosen. God is saying, hey, you're going to be distinct from every other people in the world. That's what you're supposed to be. And he's quoting back, going back to Exodus 19 and Hosea. We belong to God's family. That's who you're part of. And I praise God that in that, you know, we have Irish and German and Italian and Mexican and Puerto Rican and African. And we're all Chinese and Korean. And we're all God's family. Why? Because we're the chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We serve the king directly. Isaiah 61 says it like this, but you shall be called a priest of the Lord. Okay? They shall speak of you as ministers of God. Then he says this, and then you are a holy nation. That word holy doesn't mean perfect. It's not perfect. Holy in this realm says you have been set apart. You are select. Okay? Here we have this cup representing the wine, right? This cup. Christ drinks it. He drank from it. At this church, this cup is only used for one purpose, for communion. It is holy. It is select. Gentlemen, let me ask you, gentlemen, husbands, talk back to me today. Your wife is holy unto you. Amen? I thought I would get like 1,000 amens to that one, right? She is select. She is holy unto you. She's not. She's only for you. Amen? Amen? Ladies, your husband is holy unto you. Amen, right? That is select. That is it. It's holy. God says, you are my holy nation. I've got you. You got me. And you're supposed to be a light to the world, set apart for God's purposes. For you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7. Of everyone, think about it. 8 billion people on the earth, and God says, that's my son. That's my daughter. I'm like, yes, I belong to the king. A people of his own possession. You are treasured by God himself. With Israel, God wanted to create a community of people who believed in him, who would be unique among all the nations and be able to minister God's grace and truth to them. Okay? This is now happening. Again, nothing hateful towards ethnic Israel. But the community of believers, we've been grafted into the real Israel. Okay? This is who we are. We're not taking their place because God still has a plan, I believe, for them. But now we've been grafted into that familia. And he says, okay, now you guys who truly long for me, who truly know me. And Ken said it so beautifully when he got baptized. He goes, I did all the religious stuff, but I had no relationship. I wasn't his until the day I met him. And this is why. Verse 9. Here's the thesis of the whole text. It's drawing all the way to this. But it says in verse 9. Here's our purpose. That you might proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? This is what you're supposed to, if I can use this word, preach. Proclaim. Now, you don't need a pulpit or a 3-point message, but you have to be that living testimony. You have to be the sermon in the flesh. So that when people look at you, they go, man, why are you different? What is up with you? And then you could go, oh, let me tell you, I used to be like this, but then I met Jesus, and now I'm like this. So that's what I'm telling you. Yeah, I know you used to be like that. And you got hundreds, right? Your friends at work and at school and in the neighborhood, they are like that building that's fallen on them. They're they're trapped, and they're in their own personal hell sometimes. I have people tell me, oh, Santiago, this is hell. I'm like, no, man, you trust me. This is the west side, but this ain't hell, okay? This is the south side, but ain't in hell. There's something worse that's coming. But you can be delivered from that if you would just turn and put your faith in Christ. But they need to see Jesus. Because I don't know any unbelievers that are picking up a Bible and reading it. But when you see the Gospel of John and Thomas and Jose and Maria and Jeff, Sharon, when you see those Gospels walk beside you and you go, wow. What's up with all that? You're like, let me tell you what Christ has done to me. I used to be, but then God cleansed me and he washed me. And now I'm a new creation in Christ. So I want to tell you about him. Can I tell you about him? Can I tell you how good he is? How much he loves you? That he died for you so that you might be forgiven? So he doesn't want you to be trapped. He wants to deliver you and set you free. This is why church, this is why I use that video, because we're not here to condemn anybody. We're here to rescue people. Right, Jeff? Jeff's a fireman, so he does that all day. He runs into burning buildings. Crazy, right? But that's what we're called to do. We got to be that rescue team. That's our purpose, that you might proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Stop trying to squint and understand the world. You need to come out of the world, put it all off, understand who you are, and excel and do what he called you to do. Can I say it, Pastor Dell? If you don't want to do that, you're probably in the wrong church. The gospel, we're about the gospel. We want to proclaim the gospel. Once, verse 10, and I'm finishing. Once not a people, now God's people. Once without mercy, now recipients of mercy. God is calling us to be a holy people. Take it off. Anything that hinders you, take it off. And we're not going to throw shade at you. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to help you take it off and keep it off. Amen? We want to be built in line with the Word of God. He's the cornerstone. We're all getting in line with him. So we're talking about obedience. We'll help you and we'll teach you. We'll help you to grow. In fact, you'll do it with me. And if I stumble and fall, you'll pick me up. Amen? And if you stumble and fall, guess what? I'm going to pick you up. Come on, let's go. Why? So that we could proclaim the excellence of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is what we've been entrusted to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is the mission. There's no greater mission. There's nothing more important than this. If you believe this, and you want to be on mission with us, right now, and you know we don't do this, but would you just say yes to God and stand up? God, here's my life. I give it away to you. If that's you, and you say yes to God, I'm trusted with the gospel, and I want to learn to give it away and just walk with him and talk with him and live for him. Please stand up. Heavenly Father, your church stands before you. We are broken. But God, you, and what your blood has done for us, you took all our broken pieces and you put us to make us a new creation, ready for your use. Holy and set apart just for you. God, so help us to take away that everything that hinders your mission, so that we might be a people known by you, set apart for you, and the world might see us as different from them. But God, help us to understand who we are, that we're that holy nation, that royal priesthood. We are possession. We are the apple of your eye. We are the ones you love. But you did not set us apart, God, so that we could just hang out and have a holy huddle. But God, you set us apart so that we could go back into the world and rescue people and tell them about the good news of Christ. So God, help us to do this. Help us to proclaim this until you come back. And all the saints of God said, amen.